And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! Undefeated here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, A from the BEAUT full studios of Freedom's of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, we have Karen Katowski on. She's going to explain it to us. Retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, former Pentagon officer, professor Karen Katowski was commissioned in 82 as a second lieutenant in the United States Air Force. And then she went on to here and there and did stuff and kind of important and knows stuff. Well, I tell you, what she wound up is that, you know, in the Sub-Saharan Africa Directorate, she's kind of, you know, this Africa comm thing. And then they got America comm thing and this comm thing. What do they mean, comm? What does that mean? Comm, what are they talking about?
Well, it's a command. It's a command. The United States military commands the world.
Command and control, command and control. You know, it's just their verbiage tells you everything. Okay.
It does.
This is one thing that I wanted, you wrote an article. You know, we saw it, you know, we've got to get it live from. And Karen's, D.C.'s own Khashoggi moment. You know, now, Khashoggi was the Washington Post Saudi Arabian Turkey killed guy something. What was the comparison you're making there? Why'd you title it that?
Well, I mean, Khashoggi was a Saudi who reported critically about things that the Saudi government didn't want reported critically about, and so he went to Turkey and got swooped up and murdered and cut in little pieces, and then people found out about it, and it got publicized, and of course the Saudis were somewhat embarrassed. I'm not sure how embarrassed they really were, but they had to cover it up, and finally I think they did try to hold some Saudi intelligence people accountable for this this kidnapping and tricking and murder and cutting up in little pieces of Jamal Khashoggi, who I think was actually an American citizen. He certainly worked for American newspaper, lived in Washington. State murder of a critic. State murder of a critic. And
what eventually did happen to the guy that they said actually did it? You know, here's a little special forces kind of, hitman of our, he was in charge and he did it. And what happened to him? He get a, Lon Horiuchi medal or something?
I don't know. I have to check and see what happened to the guys that did it. But certainly they did it on orders of the Saudi government, the guy in charge of Saudi Arabia. And there was backlash all the way up to the very top of the political chain. Supposedly, these people who did it on orders, of course, they didn't do it extrajudicially in the sense of they were following the orders of the Saudi government, which doesn't have an independent judiciary. I mean, it's an executive, a state-run, it's a kingdom. So they were following orders. They were not following orders. But because of the public outcry and the fact that the Turks had video and sound evidence of what had happened, they had to do something. So I think they called those guys back home. I mean, seriously, they're not going to be punished for following orders.
Yeah, no. What I am interested in is how much surveillance there is of the embassies. And they had, audio of it. We got audio. And then they said it was, it came from his iWatch. Yeah. Khashoggi got killed and he recorded the whole thing. And I'm going, I want to get me an iWatch then, I guess. I mean, I'm like, wow, how much did we learn just from this one event?
yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, it's actually what you're bringing up. I mean, we should have some evidence available of what they're doing to Julian as well.
Yeah.
Not sure. I mean, because these embassies are not, well, they're not secure. And the Five Eyes share data, you know, the Five Eyes, us and New Zealand and Australia and Britain and I forget who, Canada, I guess.
Yeah, keep the microphone next to your mouth. It's going all over the place.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hold on. Yeah, okay. Anyway, the Five Eyes have shared intelligence, and we can hope that Canada and Australia and maybe even certain people in Britain are not totally on board with cutting Assange up.
But they're not in charge.
No, they're not.
Hey, man, I think I don't want it, and you're not in the circle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the Khashoggi parallel is one that we need to be thinking about because, you know, and the other thing is like you take Assange. I mean, there was a poll, Rasmussen poll, which it tends to be quasi-conservative in how it does its polling. And they said 2/3 of the people in this country agree with some of those congressmen and senators who want to kill Assange. These people, they say, yeah, I mean, he wronged us, you know, he wronged us. We have to get rid of him. You know, so this is bad. And they can do, if they have that kind of, when the United States has a sense that the population will not get up in arms about what they're doing, you know, that's why they propagandist for war ahead of time. You know, why did, you know, we were planning war in Iraq in 2002, 2001 even. We were planning for it, probably before that. But we didn't do it until the population had been lied to by the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, all of them had, and of course the government-owned media. So, you know, you need that propaganda baseline. You need to soften up the population before you go do something. Well, in the case of Assange, 2/3 of the population, according to Rasmussen just a few days ago, felt that the guy was guilty of harming American interests and American people. And they believed what the, you know, I mean, I think there was a local paper down here had a Washington-written, apparently, op-ed saying Assange was a rapist and he got people killed. Well, none of those things are true. Right there in the newspaper to the local audience. So, to me, the propaganda war has not just begun on let's get rid of Assange and make him go away. It's already achieved its goal, which means he's very vulnerable to being disappeared. And technically, he already has been disappeared.
Yeah.
Now, I believe his lawyer had some contact with him. It was limited. But no. He'll be swept out. He will not be in Britain long.
The response from the Trump administration, well, Trump, he goes, I know nothing about birthing no babies.
What is WikiLeaks?
Right.
He doesn't remember.
Well, the whole campaign, he's WikiLeaks. But the, you know, my thing is that I'm going, of course, that's what he's going to say, right up until he gets the feedback from the people's focus group of everybody of what the polls say. And then he'll make a decision based on that. But what is it that you think he wants? I mean, is he going to, you know, pardon Assange? Is he going to be buds?
Well, I would like to see that. And I don't see the problem. I had hopes that that might be part of it because, you know, I mean, he
part of the deal. He's going to negotiate that for something. What's he going to get?
Yeah. But if the American people are being propagandized effectively and they don't see pardoning him as something good for media press and media freedom, they don't see it as heroic in any way, I don't see why Trump would do it. I mean, Trump is looking for some hooks for 2020, as he should be. You know, what can he do to win? If he had been... I mean, you know, he ran on an anti-war, non-intervention foreign policy. He just vetoed the first thing Congress has done in 10 years to be anti-war.
And that to get out of Yemen?
Stop the Yemen war, yeah, and he vetoed it. Now, he vetoed it because Bolton and Pompeo told him to. Now, if he does not get rid of those guys,
Okay, we'll talk about Pompeo and so on, but the North Korean Kim Jong grandson wants to, you know, get rid of him. And I'm just, there's something else. Who's running what? Karen Katowski is the person to ask.
Second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratewithoutborders.com.
Yeah, I'm looking at this Farage's Brexit party. And Farage, all of a sudden, his new party has jumped ahead in the polls. You know, so the Brexit party, I mean, they might as well just call it Brexit party, and I guess what they call it, Brexit party, is leading against Labour and Conservatives and all that kind of stuff, Liberal Democrats, Green, you know, here it comes. I'm wondering what Farage had to say about Assange. Anything?
Oh, well, I haven't made that connection.
Well, it's public opinion. You got public opinion that, you know, majority, well, it's a more majority, you know, it's leading the others. It's only 23%, but it's, you know, ahead of the others. They're all carved up. But I'm going, yeah, you know, like Trump saying, you know, we like Assange. It probably kept him alive for a little while. And now that he's in charge, it's on. It seems like to me, art of the deal. And it's going to be, yeah, I got this Assange thing. I can do, you want to find out about Seth Rich? You want to really know about who and what, and there's more stuff? Let's rock and roll. And then the hour after this, in the third hour today, I have Sterling Lujan, a good friend that's the communication guy for Bitcoin.com, Bitcoin Cash, Roger Ver, all that. And I went to Narcopoco in February and just pimping this IPFS thing, Interplanetary File Sharing Forever, you know, Freedom's Phoenix and Pirates, and we did James Corbett. We got, you know, hundreds of gig of all of his, everything is on Interplanetary Files, can never go away now. So we're going, kiss my butt. Well, now Bitcoin.com took this technology and they go, ooh, that's a good IND, and they just put up all of WikiLeaks. Never go away. Out there for everybody and forever. So this is, it's kind of the barns out, the horses out of the barns, but I'm just going, they're, damn it, but we got really good doors now. I mean, you know, I'm not sure what's, and I'm wanting to know, Farage, when you have a popular Brexit kind of against the same people, his opinion may have. So I'm going to look that up. I bet you he has an opinion.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like you mentioned, was we'd have to talk about Seth Rich, you know, because this boils down. The Democrats want. See, this could be Trump's 2020 game when it comes to Assange. Assange may be able to sink the Democratic leadership completely and put Hillary in jail even if need be. And that was something that was very popular, you know, in the 2016 race.
Well, we're waiting. All right, here we're coming back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, what did I just say? I said, you know, what is Julian Assange and Nigel Farage? They got, you know, the Anges. They got any, you know, overlapping interest of something? Well, turns out Nigel Farage visited him in March of 17. So he's not like, you know, avoiding him, you know, and he's all buds with Trump. And they got, there's 4D chess, QAnon, 4D chess, paid trust in Trump, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. How much do you hear that kind of stuff, Karen?
Yeah, like the QAnon, I'm not following so closely myself. But yeah, I mean, Trump's a political animal. Trump's a deal maker. Okay, we got 2020 elections coming. The Democrats and the the war-mongering Republicans, which is most of the party, this is a large group in Washington. This is the string pullers behind the domestic media. We hate Assange. He's a guilty bastard. Let's kill him. Let's try him and put him in jail. Or let's put him in jail and try him and kill him. You know, in any order you want, really. But this group could be standing. This could be the hook that Trump, who suddenly never heard of WikiLeaks, can come back in because of the information Assange has, which we know he's made it public, but it hasn't really caught on, relating to the Democratic National Committee leaks of 2.5-3 years ago, in the campaign season, and the murder of Seth Rich. And this again reaches back into the Russia, collusion stuff, which the Mueller says, well, there wasn't any, but there's enough little tidbits to keep the Democrats chewing on that, which may actually be part of this 4D chess they keep saying Trump's doing, which I don't really buy into. But, you can see how Trump could turn this into a winner for himself. And if that political win for Trump, by exposing the DNC for what it has done, what it does do, and really destroying its credibility, causing Democrats to fight Democrats, that's all part of a political win for 2020. If Assange can be a part of this in Trump's mind, then Assange won't get cut up into little pieces in Diego Garcia, okay? And he won't have his brain destroyed by drugs under the hands of U.S. CIA doctors.
I'm wondering,
if he can be made to be useful politically for Trump.
No, I understand, but I ask this question. If I'm Trump and I'm going, one, I want this guy to know that I'm not his enemy, okay? So how does that happen? Does he give him an extra blanket? I mean, does he not get tortured? I'm wondering, he's got to have somebody assigned at the DOJ. I want to know where he is. I want to see the camera on him. I want to give him a couple of books. I want that. I don't know what he wants. I want him to suffer.
It may not be what he wants. It may be what Bolton and Pompeo want. And they want him dead because Bolton and Pompeo are not running for president in 2020.
All right. Bolton and Pompeo. Let's kind of round that out, and then we'll understand a little bit more. One, what the hell are they doing there? That's the first thing. Kim Jong grandson is going, nope, I don't like Pomp. Give me another guy. This guy sucks. You think Trump would acquiesce?
Well, I don't know. The only hope that I have is Trump. History, he's loyal to family and to his good friends, like who's the woman whose husband's always bad-mouthing him? His campaign
Conway.
Manager. Conway. She's loyal to him, and he's loyal to her.
I know that.
Despite her husband, who's out there bad-mouthing Trump every chance he gets. I don't know what's going on in that marriage.
Yeah, me neither. I'm like, what the hell is there? Some game being played.
But he trusts her, and she trusts, and they have a tie of loyalty so far, and it has been for a long time, and he rewards loyalty, he rewards family. He does not have that with Pompeo. He does not have that with Bolton. He didn't have it with a number of his other appointees, which made me think that Bolton should be fired and replaced soon, same with Pompeo, because he rotates these guys through. He may not have a replacement for Bolton that he wants. He may not have a replacement for Pompeo that he wants. Maybe that is still, he's still looking for that replacement. You don't know. The only thing that makes me feel a little bit better is I think that Bolton and Pompeo are not part of his inner circle, which means that he can be fired. I mean, it's not a family member, right? But they're overdue for firing.
Well, I mean, does he have them to fire? Is it you pick the bad guy, keep your enemies close, and then you slap them around and you expose them for the scumbag that they are as they're diddling little boys or something? What?
It's possible. I don't know. And the other thing is, too, things could change now that the Mueller report is done and we're launching full-fledged into the 2020 election season. Bolton has, he's a neocon. Pompeo's a neocon. They have the neocon media relatively supportive of them. They have, a strong propaganda arm that kind of says, oh, Bolton's keeping the country safe, you know, Pompeo's keeping the country safe. But I think that's a thin layer.
They have to kill your name first, and they're going to, you know, Trump is all about optics, and it's going to be Pompeo and or Bolton, or one after the other, is going to be offered up with a good reason of kind of whatever the hell, and and then you got... But what was the guy that they kept around? Rosenberg or something? Is he still there? Is he gone finally?
I don't know. I don't think he got moved out yet. But I would think that as the Trump people, Trump is still living. Okay, I don't know how healthy he is. He's still alive. He's still doing stuff. He's still drawing big crowds, and I think that's your barometer.
Yeah.
He's still drawing big crowds, so he is on track. If he chooses to run, and if he's alive in 2020 to run, and he will win. What does he need to do to ensure that, to make it a big win? Because obviously,
just let the bad guys be bad. He just sits back and just let them be stupid.
That could be. And I also think if you really want to destroy, he doesn't play nice. He's a New Yorker. He wants to destroy the Democrats, and it's not, they're doing a lot of it themselves, which is great. But he would like to help with that. And Assange has a role to play in destroying the Democrats and further dividing the young Democrats with the old guard, which is the Pelosi's and all these Schumer's and whatnot, the Hillary Clinton's, the corrupt old guard, which is hated and despised by a lot of actual populist Democrats out in the country, many of whom voted for Trump because they hated Hillary. You see, so... if he wants to make this divide politically deeper, I do believe Assange has a role to play. It's all about how I think Trump himself sees it. And this is where I do have some doubts, because he does have Bolton there advising him. And, Bolton's concern is to promote the worldview and American military dominance around the world, to continue all the wars. That's not what the American people really care about. Not a winning political play.
Okay, when we come back, I want to ask about another person. Donna Brazile! She's at Fox News! I got to get Karen's thing on that. You know, what role is that going to play? Wow. It is entertainment. We'll be right back. Karen Kotowski.
Would you like to hang out with Penn Jillette?
Maybe. So the Donna Brazile thing, you got an opinion we can come back with?
I think it's
I don't want to hear the opinion. I just want to know if you got it.
Oh, okay. I do. I think it fits in with what we've been talking about.
Yeah. There's something weird. See, it's made you look stuff. Made you look. Uh-huh. Made you look.
Yep.
Made you look. Yeah. We made you look, and I'm just going, you know, and then they distract you with North Korea, and we got Yemen, and we got the economy, and we got Venezuela sitting there, and China and Russia and doing in the South China Sea of the Belt Road of Africa, and I'm going, there is, am I allowed not to freaking care about any of this? And then boom, then I know I had to have told you about Genie Energy and this Golan Heights thing, right?
Yes, you did. Yes.
And I'm going, I knew that was coming.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's another thing that indicates, I think, where Trump's loyalties lie in his power base. And if he really goes in deep with the neocons and neocon interests, he's beatable. I think he's beatable because, a good many people voted for him because he was non-interventionist. They crossed party lines or voted for the first time for a guy like him because he wasn't a typical Republican.
Yeah, what was his justification for
that base?
What was his justification for not supporting the Get Out of Yemen thing?
I haven't seen it. I haven't really researched it. I mean, maybe I should look and see what he said. All I know is, I don't know.
Okay, I'm good. Why?
I think Bolton told him not to.
Trump.
I don't know why he did it. He hasn't really defended himself in doing that.
All right. Let me. Why did Trump veto Yemen? Let me put that up. Trump vetoes resolution to end U.S. participation in Washington Post. So I could give a crap what Washington Post says. Let's see. Veto resolution to move which blah, blah, blah. God, man. You can't watch anything without pop-up. I hate that crap.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. It's in here somewhere. God dang it, man. Washington Post sucks.
Yes, it does.
Where's what the hell just happened? All right, screw them. We'll go with something else. God.
Yeah, come but on. I haven't seen it out there. He hasn't really put forth a justification. In any type of news coverage on it.
No, the agreement is we don't talk about Fight Club. I mean, you know, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
You know, and the first rule of Trump vetoing Yemen is we don't talk about him vetoing Yemen. And in issuing the veto, Trump said, "This resolution is an unnecessary, dangerous attempt to weaken my constitutional authorities." Okay. So he's saying that the resolution is taking the power away from him. No, we got, we're going to bomb the living crap out of people just to show that I can.
Well, you know what? That could leave him an opening then to be the hero and just do it. He knows he has the congressional support.
Okay.
I mean, I'm saying if you like Trump and you're trying to make excuses for him.
This is the second veto of Trump's presidency. Congress does not have the 2/3 majority in the House or Senate to override Trump's veto. The president has cynically chosen to contravene a bipartisan, bicameral vote of the Congress and perpetuate America's shameful involvement in blah, blah, blah. Oh, this is ABC
News.
Now
it's shameful. What
now it's shameful.
They were cheering it 4 years ago.
No. That's a quote from Pelosi. You know,
Pelosi's
anti-war in Yemen. Is that it? Oh, God. See, I'm so sick of this crap. It's like, they go, Ernie, you don't know? I mean, know what? That they're going to lie to me? You know, the more you read, the less you know. It's kind of that Twain thing. You know, either uninformed or misinformed.
Yep, that's right.
All right. When we come back, I think we're back. All right, here we go.
Fuck.
All right, we're back. We were yakking. Okay, this is what happens. Trump vetoed the resolution to pull U.S. support from Saudi Arabia and us being involved in this Yemen thing that's going on. And then to the Yemenis, it's a big Yemen thing. Bunch of bombs, death, dying, and destruction, and how much disease and whatever we can cause or
and
they can cause for something.
It's been going on for 4 or 5 years that we've been helping
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going. This is the fact that we even got our hands, even a little bit dirty on this is bad. So then you go, all right, Trump goes veto, and this is his reasoning. This resolution is an unnecessary, dangerous attempt to weaken my constitutional authorities. Earlier this month, Congress passed a war powers resolution to stop U.S. involvement in the foreign conflict, with several Republicans joining Democrats in large part to send a message about the Trump administration's unwavering support of the Saudis. The House approved the resolution, blah, 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 blah. So, but then it comes back. Here's the quote. The president has cynically chosen to contravene a bipartisan, bicameral vote of the Congress and perpetuate America's shameful involvement in this heartbreaking crisis. All right, who says that? Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So she's
a big...
I remember her becoming Speaker of the House in, 06, and it was... Oh, my God, we're going to stop and pick us, and we pinky swear, and Gold Star Families, and Cindy Sheehan, and Crawford, Texas, and camped out in front of Camp Casey. And the Democrats get in charge. She gets elected Speaker, and the first thing they did was $85 billion, whatever the hell, to go bomb more Iraq.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. These guys are warmongers, and Pelosi is chief among them. And they're warmongers for money, which is really kind of the worst reason to be one. I mean, you got to give people points if they're fighting for something they believe in. They're fighting for money. They're warmongering abroad to line their pockets of their donors and to line their own war chests for elections. So, yeah, they're scum, and they're liars, as clearly you can see from that. Yeah, but it's interesting that he is asserting his executive power, which of course is a value. I mean, if you're a president, that's your thing, right? I mean, executive power.
No, he wants to be able to go wield the sword, and I'm just this is this a good one? Why? I mean, well, it's a Saudi thing.
It's not a good one. No, it's terrible, but it could be that, he will then make that executive decision after a duly noted waiting period to withdraw, because clearly, and I hate to be cynical. Well, I got to be cynical here.
40 chess.
The only reason there's a bipartisan agreement in Congress, the only reason now, after 5 years of doing this and spending all that money and enriching American industrial producers who are selling this stuff to Saudi Arabia so they can murder Yemenis people and destroy the facilities there and the economy. The Congress now is okay with cutting that off is because the profit line is dropping. They've already made their profit. They've already made the sales. It was never going to be forever. We're already at the end of it. So this also points to Trump making that executive decision to end the war in Yemen and on his terms and make it look like he's the guy that we all, that the people who voted for him.
And everybody made the money already anyway.
Because he was a non-interventionist. Yeah, I mean, look, it's
campaign contribution be a coming.
What's that?
Campaign contributions be a coming. You're going to have lot of these.
Right.
You go, I get to be the peace guy. You still make money, and I get peace and some money.
That's right. Now, that's what this game is about. So, I think Yemen is one of the tools in his toolbox. Assange also could be very useful, and that's not what I wrote about because I think he's a goner. I think he's a goner, and he's going to be disappeared, tortured, and removed from the planet by U.S. government. That's what I think. Now, if Trump finds him useful politically, Trump with his executive privilege and all of his constitutional powers, Trump, this is actually the perfect thing for Trump to get involved in because it actually is presidential prerogative to pardon. It's presidential prerogative to use the influence of his intelligence apparatus to bring the guy here and actually keep him safe. I mean, I think the president, now, again, that could be debatable. Could he keep him safe in the United States? Because it's not clear. I think CIA wants him dead. There's no doubt about that. And I think this is why I'm concerned that he's not wrong for this world.
I'm worried about...
Pompeo wants him dead.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to legitimately, prosecute and get and go to trial and death, and that's not going to work. I don't see how that comes out and anybody gets out ahead on that one.
Well, unless Trump thinks it's politically important to hear what Assange has to say about the Democratic National Committee leak and Seth Rich.
Yeah, no. See, this is what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
Assange has known what he's dealing with and what he's up against from the beginning. He's like, you read all this stuff, you see it, and you're like, well, I'm going to take and set that over here. Here's my dead man switch here. And then they want the dead man switch to go. It could have been that the Trump administration negotiated and did the Ecuador and kind of we got him and we'll hold him for a month and see if his dead man switch goes. Boom, then it's all out. Okay, then what are we going to do about it? Now, then you have the left. He's sitting there waiting. I can see. I don't know nothing about Bertha and Noah Assange. Okay, so he sits there and just we'll wait until Pelosi has something to say, until the Democrats, until the candidates have something to say.
Yeah.
Where are they going to go? Hey, free Assange! Trump, you bastard! How come you don't? I don't hear anything from them. They're all
they don't
sitting
want
there.
Him free. They don't want him free. He's got data.
They don't. Who's they? These candidates, not one of them wants, transparency. Not one of them's going to go up and support, Bradley Chelsea Manning. Not one of them's going to be. And, that's another thing. Manning's sitting in jail because, refused to testify against Assange. So I'm just going, what the hell is it? Somebody's going to come out ahead on this. Trump wants to make sure it's him, and he's not going to do anything until he gets a lay of the land for the people and the beat and what they're going to say and do, because no matter what Trump does, they're going to go, no, he did it wrong. So he wants them to commit. And I guarantee during this time, I'm pretty sure Trump's like, make sure he's got an extra blanket. Don't be torturing something because it's to his advantage. Yeah, whatever Trump does, it's to his advantage. I guarantee that. And it's not going to be.
He's a master of that.
It's not going to be busting Assange's balls right now. It's just like, just let him go through the process. Don't hurt him. Don't suffer him, whatever. We be his buds. And people have gone and visited him. And I guarantee somebody talking firsthand, recorded to somebody, well, the Trump administration knows something about something. I don't know nothing. I don't know. You really think he doesn't know anything? Or he does nothing, didn't know it was coming, does nothing? What do you think?
Well, you know, yeah, Trump, the administration and Trump for sure knew. I mean, some of this has been orchestrated, there's no doubt. And, yeah, so there's some political ramifications that can be positive for Trump. And I think he's been thinking about it for a long time because the rumors of the whole deal with the Ecuadorians, this has been going on for over a year that this was going to end, and wild rumors that he was going to be actually snatched from the embassy. And certainly the Five Eyes have been on that embassy. And we, of course, bribed the Ecuadorian president.
Yeah, $4.2 billion will get you a Assange.
That's a lot of money. Yeah, you can do a lot for $4.2 billion. Yeah, that'll get you a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a bunch of greasing went on there. You know, we're good.
Yeah. So, and that doesn't happen overnight. That takes months and months of work and dealing. So, yeah, is this part of a longer-term plan? Certainly, to get to the point where he's in Belmarsh prison now, being held, and he's not dead yet, yeah. Is that something that has been planned for? Sure, probably, because getting him there took a good year or more of actual maneuvering. You know, it wasn't something that happened overnight, like, oh, he took a walk and we just...
Well, there's also been, you know, here comes anonymous hacker or whatever the hell, going in, shutting down Ecuador, doing all kinds of that. Said, yeah, you know what I think? I think we can cost you more than $4 billion in just hassle. You know, here we go.
Yeah.
Now what? But some of the guys, they still got their money. Yeah, but you didn't get my gold I put underneath my shed. You know what? It's just, you got to just sit back and watch this play out. And it's like Trump, the movie. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
When we come back, Israel.
The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories, while I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Or the times, they are a-changing.
Are they? I don't know. There's a lot of evidence for changing a lot of stuff, but I'm not sure how much. It is pretty much the same. But a lot of things are changing. The biggest thing that's changing is us, you know, that we're more informed or have the ability to be. You know, we kind of a lot of times we're informed enough to go, you know, I'm tired of being informed. I'll just sit over here a little while and watch Trump the movie later. You know, we'll get, Quentin Tarantino to do it. That'd be awesome. Trump the movie, Quentin Tarantino. That's the flavor. That'd be awesome. Awesome. Okay. And not even have to be a parody. All right. In her article, DC's own Khashoggi moment. I want to get to Israel here, but I wanted to, you know, finish off. I'll just read a couple paragraphs from your article here. The whys are more interesting, and the case of a Julian Assange, we have a convergence of Democratic and Republican Party interest. Now, this is Karen Katowski writing on Lou Rockwell. The right-leaning statists think that something Assange can tell us while being waterboarded or drugged or sliced will help prevent ongoing and future leaks of U.S. government classified information. The left-leaning statists are afraid that Julian will reveal
willingly or while being waterboarded, drugged, or sliced, that Seth Rich or someone like him downloaded Democratic campaign information and released it to WikiLeaks, destroying the Russia collusion theory even more completely than the Mueller report did. Beyond specific short-term goals, there are the longer-term goals of the deep state, both parties, and Pompous and Butthead and their tribe. These include, obviously, deterrence of government criticism and strong deterrence of whistleblowers and sharing information with WikiLeaks specifically. It includes the steering of major social media and data companies around the world away from horrific government revelation porn and towards a legit family-style porn, which, in this particular case, will include the snuffing of Julian Assange. God. You heard it here first. No one will be happier to be called a misguided, down-home dumbass than me if we see a public trial of Mr. Assange in the free nation of the United States Eastern District Court with a top-notch defense team paid for by Kim.com, hundreds of defense witnesses, and lots of global news coverage. If Assange is disappeared and buried at sea in accordance with his faith in the next 18 months, the U.S. and the rest of the world's governments who uniformly failed to prevent this will have indicated to the people that liberty and transparency is dead and there is no more reason to talk. So you're really, 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 really concerned thinking that they're building it up for it's Osama bin forgotten, you know, Assange in the middle of the whatever.
Well, I mean, I think that's a possibility, and I think if it is viewed as politically feasible, it's going to happen. The only thing that will save him is how useful his existence as a non-tortured person can be to Trump's campaign, because Trump's the guy with the executive power. So Trump's in charge of this. Whether it's Bolton and Pompeo that want to kill him, Trump's their boss. Maybe this will be a reason he can fire these two guys. You know, I would love to see that. He can say, "Hey, I told you to keep this guy alive, and you didn't." That doesn't mean he's going to stay alive. But his what happens to him could be a reason.
Oh, there's going to be payback. Somebody's got, we got to get some if something happens to Assange. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe, yeah. Or not. I mean, again, I don't know how Trump, I don't know what's in his head. Now, we do know what's in Pompeo and Bolton's head.
So. Which is what? Explain that to me.
You know, they want war. They want war. They want war in the Middle East. They want governments not to be questioned. They want the United States government in particular not to be questioned about what it does. War crimes that the U.S. commits, they do not want those exposed. Pompeo and Bolton have both been very clear for years and years, this is where they stand. They are war-loving statists. Okay, so we know where they stand. And they don't see a usefulness for Assange, and they see a great usefulness in getting rid of him and punishing him as a deterrent for other people to participate in this whole whistleblowing thing and truth-telling, transparency, government thing.
Every time they try and do a deterrent like that, like they did with Benny and friends, at NSA and so on, that's what created mm-hmm. a Snowden. You know, it's you have...
That's right, that is true.
They
is
have
true.
To
yeah,
do the whole thing at one time, one big giant, and then the next one's going to be bigger and bigger and bigger,
well,
and they don't see that
true.
Causality.
That's true. Now, one of the reasons not to have reported Osama bin Laden dead, and you know, he was reported dead multiple times by the U.S. government before we actually reported him dead, right? One of the reasons he was right, because it was politically useful to say he was gone. Or remember Cheney said, "Oh, I'm not worried about him. He's not a player anymore." Well, part of that, whether it was true or not at the time, is about not making him a martyr. If they think that Assange will be made a martyr, they may want to, you know, show that he's not a martyr. And that would require an open trial and, you know, a more honest, fair treatment of him. I don't think they have any cause to bring him even to the United States for trying. I mean, he's an Australian citizen. It's nuts. He didn't commit any crimes on this country's turf. I don't understand why we would bring him here.
Well, that's why they wanted to get Manning to testify and say he helped break in to do something
that
Manning wouldn't play.
Yeah.
So how is this working out? What are they holding Manning for? I don't even know how that even happened. What's up?
Well, they want him to say something. That
I know what they want him to do, but I'm wondering what they're holding him on.
They're holding him on contempt of court. They called him back to a grand jury, and they said, "You need to tell us something," and he wouldn't. And they said, "Okay, contempt of court."
Well, can't he just say fifth? I mean, is it, can you, fifth, done?
I don't know, but he's in jail again.
And
I'll tell you what, though, I'll tell you something about Chelsea. I've never met him, her, I've never met her since she's changed over. I don't follow her case hugely, but I'm going to tell you something. She lives through what they put her through. At the same time, she's going through her personal identity challenges, which everybody knows are tough, right? I mean, that's a big deal. That's like your whole life, you know, that's a focus of energy, emotional energy, intellectual energy. Meanwhile, she's being deprived of people. You know, she's in isolation. She's being treated with some of these torture techniques in jail. And she came out of that looking halfway normal. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have done that. There's something of a spine in Chelsea.
I tell you what there is. There's a good phrase, joke, line, stand-up comedian thing in there somewhere about, you know, you got to go through a sex change, you know, to woman so you can have the balls to stand up against the man or something. This is definitely some commitment to something.
Tough.
Whether
I'm just going
to
say, she's tough. She is a tough person who withstood quite a bit. So, And they tried everything. They tried everything with her. I mean, they tried every technique that we used in Guantanamo on her. I mean, short of waterboarding. I mean, they tried the psychological techniques, the loud music, the deprivation of, contact of people and all that. They tried everything, and she didn't break on them, in spite of the fact that if you read a psychology book, she would have been likely to break early.
We went through this with, it? Padilla? I remember Jacob Hornberger was really that one.
Yeah, Padilla got destroyed, got his brain destroyed.
Yeah, they just fried your, I mean, this is what happens.
That's right. And I think they expected to have that effect with Chelsea, but I don't know, she's tough. She's very tough.
Well, I think she missed the sensory deprivation on a lot of different things because she was so high profile in so many different ways and a cause celeb for whatever.
It's possible, but she was in isolation for 8 months. I mean, that's torture right there.
God,
she
goes, you arrest me again? Yeah, bring it on, bitch.
Bring
you
it.
Know?
That's right.
I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, I'm wondering... Well, I tell you what, we're going to be hitting the end of the show here. We're going to go a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sterling Lujan can't make it till the bottom of the next hour. Can you go another half hour? Because I want to get into Israel.
Okay, but only that long because I have my husband's out there on the backhoe and I'm going to have to go help him. You see him out the window.
He's waving. He's like, I knew you were 30 again. You're going to go along. All right. We'll go ahead and take a break. You run out there and do a little help, say you did, and then we'll come back six after. And I'll expect you to be there at six after. I'll just let you do something.
Okay.
And then six after, we'll come back. We'll get straight into Israel and Sterling Lujan at the bottom of the hour, and we'll get on all our saving the planet stuff there.
Okay.
Karen Katowski. Oh, lots of good conversation. And, somebody write that joke. Yeah, give me something about, you know, you got to have a sex change operation to a woman to get the balls to stand up against a man or something. There's got to be a stand-up routine there. Chelsea, power, man. Do it. We'll be right back. Karen Katowski.
Declare your independence with Ernest Hancock continues after the news, live on the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.
This is the Liberty Beat, your daily source for Liberty news and activist updates, produced in partnership with SNLS News and listeners like you. Online at libertybeat.news and snls.news. I'm Mick Murrow with your latest edition of the Liberty Beat. Gold is trading at $1,276. Silver at $14.98, and Bitcoin is trading around $5,266. Today's prices are brought to you by InnoScale. Take off with ManageCloud. Looking for a safe, secure way to store your important files online? Let InnoScale handle it for you. Their high-availability cloud servers are the perfect solution for clients needing one or more secure, scalable servers with built-in hardware failover protection. For details, see them online at InnoScale.com. Liberty.net. In the news, pesticide giant Monsanto has taken another major legal blow in the recent verdict by a French appeals court, finding the company guilty of poisoning a farmer who has suffered massive neurological damage after inhaling one of their products. The Homestead Guru reports that global organic food advocates have rallied against Monsanto for years, crying out against the toxic chemicals they sell to farmers to spray on the global food supply. Only now is the seemingly unstoppable corporation facing an upswing of legal ramifications. According to The Guardian, the French farmer named Paul Francois said he fell ill in 2004 after being exposed to Lasso, a weed killer containing a product legal in France until 2007, but had already been banned in 1985 in Canada and in 1992 in Belgium and Britain. The court immediately ordered Monsanto to pay $50,000 in legal fees. The remaining payout is still to be determined. The Liberty Beat is sponsored in part by Bray Botanicals, high-quality kratom and CBD at reasonable prices with excellent customer service. Bray Botanicals is activist-owned and mission-driven, fighting for your right to consume plant-based medicine and natural remedies. Find out more at mybraybotanicals.com. And right now, Liberty Beat listeners can save 10% by using promo code SNLS at checkout. This is the latest edition of the Liberty Beat. Find us online at libertybeat.news and snls.news. Your news now continues. It took nearly 9 months and several petitions by the Detroit Free Press until Michigan State Police and Detroit Police allowed the body camera and dash camera footage to be released, showing the minutes leading up to and the hours following the tasing murder of Damon Grimes by MSP trooper Mark Bessner. The 16 hours of recording show the horror, outrage, and insensitive comments made by many officers on the scene. One video even recorded the moment of his death. Now Bessner has finally been convicted for his actions. Last year, Bessner was charged with second-degree murder for tasering the teen on the ATV. On Wednesday, a jury convicted him of the lesser charge of involuntary manslaughter, despite the horrific nature of the incident. After his conviction, Bessner was taken into custody and is awaiting his sentencing on May 2nd. Fast food chain Carl's Jr. will make history by becoming the first fast food restaurant to offer a CBD-infused item, and possibly the first major chain to actually run a promotion on the infamous pothead holiday, 420. The Mind Unleashed reports that on Saturday, April 20th, Carl's Jr. will celebrate the holiday with its own CBD-infused Rocky Mountain High Cheeseburger Delight. The Cheeseburger Delight is made up of two beef patties, pickled jalapenos, pepper jack cheese, and CBD-infused Santa Fe sauce. The burger will be ironically priced at $4.20, but will only be available at one select Carl's Jr. location in Denver, Colorado. However, representatives from the company said they hope to expand the special menu item to other locations if it does well. Patty Trevino, Carl Jr.'s Senior Vice President of Brand Marketing, says she is proud her company was the first in the industry to make the bold step. Lawyers for the company advise that Denver, Colorado would be the perfect place to test the new menu item, since cannabis has been legal there for some time. Support for the Liberty Beat comes from the Conscious Resistance Network, featuring videos, news reports, and articles from a spiritual anarchist perspective. Experience the Conscious Resistance at theconsciousresistance.com. How would you like to have your business featured on the Liberty Beat? You can. Just send an email to libertybeat@snls.news for details. This is the Liberty Beat, produced in partnership with SNLS News and listeners like you. The Liberty Beat is online at libertybeat.news and snls.news. I'm Mick Murrow, reporting for the Liberty Beat, reminding you, spread liberty with a smile.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMF. CATMF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, the beard! You're undeclared. You're independent. From the beautiful studios of Freedom's Announce, Freedom's Phoenix, and Stockholm. Oh, I didn't say hello. All right, what we're going to do is we're talking with Karen Katowski. Karen, I still got you there?
Yes.
Yeah, she made it back. Okay. So she's gonna spend an extra half hour with, because we didn't get into Israel, and Sterling Lujan can't come on to the bottom of the hour. He just sent Donna, so Karen's going to entertain us with some more goodies. But I'm telling you, we had Doug Casey on yesterday, and I got a top article right now. It says, How Fascism Comes to America by Doug Casey. I think there are really only two good reasons for having a significant amount of money: to maintain a high standard of living, that's a good one, and to ensure your personal freedom, because damn it. Well, I'm going, yeah, if you got a lot of money, sometimes they want to explain it to you. So the future is going to be written by whom? And I'm looking at who is running everything. And with this Golan Heights thing and Trump saying Israel gets to annex in and do, and then we got Cheney on the board of directors along with the Rockefeller and Larry Summers, and I mean a Rothschild guy, and all the, and Genie Energy's got energy on the Golan Heights, so it's going to be Israel, and we make some money, and I bet he gets campaign contribution, and he's on buildings saying vote for Bibi. Well, then Bibi just skates by, was it ever in doubt, and then Armageddon be a coming. What say you, Karen?
Well, you know, I think even above politics and the money making of the political class, we have the petrodollar is not dead yet, but it's very much dying. And a lot of what you see, guys like Bolton and Pompeo and a whole bunch of other people, not just neocons, beyond. The warmongers is the kind of the banker class, particularly on the old world. We used to be the new world, right? But we're not the new world anymore. We're the old world. And the old world is struggling to maintain its credibility, and certainly its financial credibility, which we do not have. I mean, we're a debtor nation in worst case than Greece, except we're like 100,000 times bigger than Greece. So, we have a problem. It's a financial fiat currency problem.
I'm sorry, did I lose you? Karen? Dang it. All right. Need to get her back. Let me try this. Donna's not here. She just left to do some real estate thing. I got to figure it out myself. Let me turn her thing off so you can't get the secret phone number, you know. Let's see if I pushed it right. Come on, one ringy dingy. Ah, dang it. So when I pushed a button, I can't hear it. And the last number you don't get to hear. There. see if that comes through. Because I still want to talk about this Israel thing and the Golan Heights deal. That is just, seriously, I am really wondering, because this was like years building up.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah. Filling in the time while you're out, explaining to the audience that, you know, this Bibi thing and the Golan Heights deal, and Bibi became prime minister when? He's been kind of a long-running guy, hasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's, this is his, well, 20 years of service, but I think there was a break. I think there was a break in during some of that time where he wasn't prime minister. Yeah, he's on track to be the longest running, I think, with this election.
Well, his competition in this last election was, you know, the general of whip ass of the alternative is not as much whip ass or something. I mean, I didn't see what there was really a choice there.
Well, he was probably a little bit more of a peace candidate. I mean, they chose the warmongering candidate. They chose what they consider to be Israeli security over everything else, which
well,
I think
the
is
the day after he got elected, they go bomb Syria some because, and then you have this Golan Heights thing. What do you know about this Golan Heights thing? Give us the history on it and where we're at now.
Well, I mean, you know, the 67 war, the Israelis think that they conquered the Golan Heights, and they've certainly kept it as territory, and they've operated as if it was their territory, even though it's Syrian property. And the UN and the peace agreement does not acknowledge that it belongs to the Israelis, but it in all, you know, it's possession's 9/10. So they have possession of it, and obviously, yes, there's oil there. Syria would have liked it, would have benefited from it, but now Dick Cheney will benefit from it, and Israel will kind of benefit from it. So, you know, I mean, possession's 9/10. What are you going to do? I mean, this could have been, I mean, it's wrong. I'm talking about how it's morally wrong. It is morally wrong, but politically, it's almost undoable. You cannot undo what they have, and I think part of Trump's thing of recognizing it is just a kind of a help to Bibi in his election. And what's he going to do? Not recognize it? That would be a reversal of 50, 60 years of U.S. policy towards Israel, because we do what Israel wants us to do. So there's no surprises there. It was a gift to Bibi during his election. I mean, they're taking it. And they would take more if they could. If Israel could have all of Syria, they would have it.
Oh, they want to go. The greater Israel is to the Euphrates and Tigris, the Iraq of the, this
That's
is
right.
God
Thank
said.
You. That's right. And you know, part of all these U.S. wars and the destruction of stuff and the evil alliance with Israel between Israel and Saudi Arabia, which is also parallels our own evil alliance, you know, this is all part of the greater Israel plan. And you know, if you're a little warmongering country with big ideas and a decent amount of overseas support and a decent economy, although it's a socialist economy, so I wouldn't say it's all that decent. I mean, they have some property laws there that, you know, it's a little socialist country. I mean, forgot. And it's so funny, you know, we pick on Cuba. My God, what is Israel? You know, you can't even own property there. It's a 100-year lease from the government. So this is like not, it's messed up.
For the audience,
big ideas.
I'm going to give the Evelyn Wood version, speed reading version here of the Golan Heights, and Karen, you correct me where I'm wrong. In 67, there was a threat of the Arabs were going to go get some on Israel, and preemptively, and whether it was justified or not, they went, oh, hell no, and they, their planes went and bombed there, you know, Egypt and the Sinai, and Golan Heights is a higher elevation of mountainous area, ridge or something, overseas, Israel coming down from Syria. Well, you know, a little inside baseball army, what happened is the Israeli tanks get up to the top up there, and these old Soviet tanks that Syria had a bunch of, hundreds of them, they were going to kick ass. Well, what happened is the gun turret couldn't elevate up high enough to get to the Israeli tanks that were up there. So they're just shooting into the mountain. Well, these few Israeli tanks that are up there, they're just picking them off. Boom, 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 boom. So a little bit of army baseball there is that, guess what? These tanks aren't that limited now. So this is why they kept the goal. I go, hell no, we got here, we stopped the hordes of the tank gun, we're keeping it. Then, you know, 5 years ago or so, they gave a permit for Genie Energy, which is they, them, those, Dick Cheney and friends and Rothschilds and so on, get a permit to go look for oil. They found it. They're keeping it. We'll be right back.
Yeah, there you go.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Okay, so the next step for BB and we should talk about Venezuela, you know. So we got BB doing their thing and so on and trying to start a ruckus with Syria and Russia and Putin's not playing or what? What's going on there?
Oh, well, I mean, to me it's about oil revenues and controlling oil flows globally. I mean, that's what Saudi Arabia's about. That's what the Middle East is about.
Fine, end NATO and tell Germany to deal with Putin, pay for their own kind of military and give Putin the money and we're done. I mean, you know, Europe be gone. You know, it's so convoluted and they're betting on the future of something and I don't know how they're, because they're playing quarter by quarter or presidential election cycle and you got China. You know, they're just going to come in with suitcases.
I think they're betting on the past. I think the United States is over with. It is an empire in rapid decline, and it doesn't have new tools. We don't have new tools. New tools would be what Trump was promising at the beginning. You know, let's invest in America because America is great, and we can invest in what's made us great, and we'll be great again, kind of thing. Very roughly, you know, that is a different approach. Certainly was not the Republican or Democrat theme. It was Trump's theme.
Okay, wait, here we're coming back.
Learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, we got actual, factual information, Karen Katowski. It's more than what? Quite a feat. See, time that good, isn't it? All right. Karen Katowski. See, I get to have fun because I can. That's a whatever. One thing that we were talking about, Israel, and then we got Venezuela coming on, and we have China and Russia and our empire versus their empire of the empires. And I'm seeing this big, giant behemoth empire kind of, it's just not going to work that way. A lot of the corporations know this. They're corporations, that multinationals are just multi-country. They, you know, what flag do I got to put on my Nike shoes this week? I mean, so what's really going, is there any wrap up to this whole thing? It's just dying U.S. and they're going to do whatever.
The U.S. empire is over. It has one currency left, which is not the dollar, but it's the petrodollar, it's oil, and control of oil flows, which we have done militarily in the Middle East for 50 years. And it's what Venezuela is about. It's what the Golan is about. It's about trying to ride the one last thing that we have that we can control people with, control our empire with, because that empire is gone. People don't listen to the United States anymore. And, you know, one of the critics of Trump himself as the president, they say, well, he's a clown. He's not a real president. You know, he's not presidential. Yeah. But neither is our empire. It's not thriving anymore. It's in full on collapse before our very eyes. And I think people get this in the United States. I mean, people get this. You know, you read about what's happening in our major cities in terms of human defecation in the streets. I mean, that's third world stuff right there. And it's home. It's here. So this empire is not what we tell ourselves. It is. It may have been that 100 years ago. It's not that now. And then what do we have left to offer the world? Well, not so much, you know, because we're like a big bully, and we have a military that according to the games they play at Rand and the Pentagon, can't take on anybody. Our military will get slapped down by Russia and China today if we went head on with either one of them by themselves, not even counting two of them, not even a two front war. A single front war, we would get slapped down. So we don't have anything. We got the potential. We do export. Well, we're going back into the idea that we can export raw materials to get ahead, which was something from the 1800s, and it's all good. But, you know, that's going backwards. And then we have a military and a political apparatus around the world that thinks it can control oil flows to our benefit, okay? The worst kind of trade policies and that kind of thing. Trade policies backed by a military. It's empire in decline. That's what we have. Most people who are thinking, it's not most people, but most people who are thinking know this already. The people that voted for Trump instinctively know this. And he says, I'm going to make America great again by investing in America and investing what was good about America and not investing in this stupid empire. He said that to people. And people responded to it. Now, he hasn't followed through. He hasn't followed through, that's for sure. But a bunch of people already get it. The empire's dead. We don't need the military we have. It's useless. It can't win wars. Okay? And it's way too costly. So things are going to change in this country. They already changed in a lot of ways. And they're going to keep changing. But the political class doesn't get that. And you mentioned businesses and international businesses, they put on the flag they need to put on. They are competing globally. They are looking where the customers are buying. Okay? That's what they're doing. It's not here. It's not here. And they don't really care who the president is. They're going to make their money globally. Tax day comes out, right? And what's the news? You know, hundreds of major U.S. corporations paid no income tax. Great. That's right. That's what they do. They're not going to put good money, you know, after bad. This country, as an empire, is gone. What we have is what we have here. America first. That's what Trump was trying to say, at least whether he was trying to say it or not. That's what people heard. And that's what they believe. And that's where our strength is, in this country. Not this.
Okay,
this
where's empire, our strength? In opinion? Your people? The preference? What would you say?
No, the strength of this country is the fact that we have a vast and varied geography filled with a bunch of people that have guns. That's our strength.
Yeah.
You know, we're not very well educated. It's not our intellectual capacity that does it for us. It is the fact that we are kind of roughneck. It's almost, in a sense, going back to the fantasy of the Marlboro Man kind of thing, you know, the independent person that faces danger from nature and overcomes it.
Yeah, it's kind of the attitude
that's it.
We surrendered.
You
know, Paris surrendered, and you should too, because Marlboro Man needs to do what he's told. Kind of, they go, I don't know what
they
you're talking
do.
About.
Well, if they kill the Marlboro Man mentality, then we can be France. We can be just like France. I mean, you know, but that's not going to work here. Too many people are armed, and too many people are.
Yeah, they want to take care of that. They're trying.
Well,
they're
of course they do. Sure. The smart money is how do you destroy Americans, and you do it in different ways. You destroy their education, you destroy their history and their sense of history, so they don't know where they came from. And you take their guns away, and hopefully you take their property away, too, while you're at it. That's how you would destroy it. But the country's very big, and you know, internet has come along just about in time to save what's left of America, because people can actually...
Oh, no, they want to control that, too. That's why we're all in on not, you know, we have... we're not.
Yeah. But the last straw, or the last, the saving, the rope that you're throwing to the United States Empire is the potential to control oil flows around the world, to force people to buy higher-priced oil or oil that we can set a price on through controlling the flows. That's all they have left. The government sees that as a positive. The Boltons of the world, the Pompeos of the world, think that that is how America survives, but it's not. That isn't even going to save the empire. It might extend the life of the empire.
Hell, in 5-6 years, they're going to have the walnut-sized fusion reactor of their irrelevant now. I mean, I'm...
Well, all this technology is coming, and it's the technology is going to be in the hands of people. It's going to be very populist in many ways. Look how upset they got about 3D printing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the government freaked out about 3D printing. And it wasn't just that we could print our own parts and print guns. It's about the idea that we can be factories in our own homes. That's power.
Can't allow that. They wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. Venezuela, what do you think is going to be, happen with Venezuela? Are we going to invade? Are we going to get troops there alongside Russia and China?
Israel has its own problems.
Maintaining
its population.
Wait a minute. You say we're going to ignore Venezuela because we've got Israel to deal with? I mean, what are you saying?
No. I mean, Israel's got... I don't think Israel is going to continue to drive the boat as long as people... yes, it has in the past. But, no, I think Israel's a struggling empire as well in its own way.
You know, one thing when I saw the... not Occasional Cortex, the other one. The Muslim woman congresswoman.
Oh, I know you don't know.
When she started criticizing the influence of Israel in Washington, I'm like, thank God somebody did it.
Yeah, no kidding. And the Democrats hate that worse than anybody. Because, historically the Democrats have received huge amounts of support for the Israel, pro-Israel, whatever.
Yeah, Trump says, not only do you support me, I give you Golan Heights, you don't support them.
Well, totally genius I honestly think everything Trump's doing from this point on, now that Mueller report is out, is to destroy the Democrat ability to put forth a candidate that can even beat him. And I think he wants a major Electoral College win. I think he wants to dominate. Because even though it wasn't, popular vote was close, or maybe even more for Hillary. I don't know what the end numbers were. I think the end numbers were he still won the popular vote. I heard that, but I don't know if it's true. But electorally, he won 370 or something. So he did wipe pretty clean on electoral vote. He wants a major win. I think Trump wants that more than anything. So all the things we've been talking about, which are big picture things and true things, like the end of empire and the potential murder at the hands of the state of Assange and many other people. Yeah, fine. But with Trump, he will use everything he possibly can, and he will do anything he possibly can to win big in 2020, to dominate. And I think he'll do it. And if he can use Assange to do that, he will. If he can give the Golan Heights to show that Republicans love Israel more than Democrats.
One thing that I give Trump is he is really good at selecting opportunities that will give him maximum whatever the hell it
That's
is.
Right.
And
That's
it's just
right.
going to, and the other side and the deep state and the D's and the R's, everybody, they're just so, they're barrel fish. I mean, I watch this with entertainment, and Dr. Frank, when we do the Trump report, he's like, see, you're coming around. I go, just because he's counted coup on them and slapped them in the face and bloodied their whatever doesn't make me feel any better. I just, better not.
I mean, okay. When Trump tweeted or talked about, somebody asked him a question about WikiLeaks, he goes, oh, I really don't know anything about WikiLeaks, right? I mean, that's a bald-faced lie to the face of the world, right? Because we have him on record loving WikiLeaks, loving, adoring Julian Assange, right, during the campaign. But he goes, his statement to his, I don't know anything about WikiLeaks. Well, that's calculated. That's not off the cuff. Nothing with him is, it looks like, it's all off the cuff. He's a tweeting maniac. No, it's calculated. So when he rediscovers WikiLeaks, He's in a position to do anything that he wants, from killing him to pardoning him. And he'll do it. He'll do whatever he does with an eye to the political ramifications. 2020 and
of course.
That'll be the last time he runs.
See, this is the problem. They always do this. They go, well, you elect me and I'll fix it. Well, I can't do it. It's kind of messed up, but we'll do it after the midterm election. Well, you re-elect me again, the second term's all I get. Then I'll kick ass. And then blah, 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 blah. The world's going to spin around you and whatever.
I will say this. If you accept the premise that mainstream media in this country leans neocon Democrat, liberal, hates Trump.
I'll be waiting a minute, Stuart. Sterling.
Sure.
But if you accept that premise that the mainstream media dislikes Trump, I will tell you that same mainstream media hates Assange. That puts Assange and Trump on the same side of the fence. That could be a good sign. I didn't write about that.
I got to get going, but I'll say, end with this one thing. One observation. Mm-hmm. When they arrested Assange that night, Frank was over doing some thing. He was using the studio. And one of his friends calls, and we're sitting there talking. On the news, Fox News is saying and doing this. And we're going, all right. What does Laura Ingraham, what does Sean Hannity have to say about Assange? Is he death and dying and destruction must become him for against America? Or is they taking a neutral ground? Or he's a hero? Because you know what the marching orders are, whatever Fox News says, okay?
Yeah.
And they just kind of, and anytime I check, because I don't look, because I don't care, you kind of see where they're going. I don't know.
Yes.
I got to get to my next, I'm coming up on the next
thing. Gotcha. No.
All right, talk to you later, Karen. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.